Paul now says, because I heard you were followers of the Christ, I am writing this letter to you. And I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The greatest wish he has for them is that they receive inner light. This is important, that they receive inner light is all he's wishing. That the God of our Lord may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you learn the nature of your inner self, this is all there is. And from that point, the Christ consciousness evolves itself through revelation. Later on, in another place, he's going to tell them about God is not found in temples made with hands. And that's the very opposite of what he's saying here. Here he's saying where God is found, in the temple within. He's teaching that revelation is based upon the acceptance of God's presence where you stand. He's changing the consciousness of the world by changing the consciousness of the individual from a consciousness that goes out and looks at a material world to a consciousness that listens within, accepting the presence of God where it stands and receives the knowledge of him, the inner light. Why doesn't the church teach this? It's here. It's visible. Anybody who can read can see it. This is the teaching of the Christ. This is where the answers are for the problems of the world. This is where the answers are for those things that we have called our problems. I want to remember, to go back to that word problem before this session is over, but I don't want to interrupt this continuity. Wherefore I also keep you in my prayers, cease not to give thanks, that the God of our Lord may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You see, he's talking about not your mind. He's talking about your consciousness. He's telling you to get up over that mind and let the eyes of your consciousness, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. By hope he means the ultimate. What invisible greatness awaits the Christ consciousness? What is your expectation? What is your aim? What is your reward for this Christ consciousness? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints? Whoever then is faithful unto the Christ receives the riches of his glory, meaning all of the Father is in the Christ. Unless you are conscious of the Christ, none of this is taking place in your life. To be conscious of the Christ should be a lot easier than we have made it to be. Why should it be difficult for you to be conscious of that which can never leave you, which is ever where you stand, which is ever where you go? Isn't it just the reminder that is necessary, that the Christ is here now? If this is the crux of the teaching, should we not pause and rest in the knowledge that the Christ is here now, and that the Christ will be here in 10 hours from now, and the Christ will be here if I find myself in a situation that I dislike, that the Christ will always be that which is my substance? What is more important to us? Suppose you came from the other side and say, all right, it's so. Now what? Well, it's so, that means you're humanly dead. It's alive, so stop talking. Let yourself be humanly dead. Let the Christ live itself. Now, our slow transition in consciousness is preparing us for that. If this Christ is all it says that it is, it must be very active. It must do things. It must perform deeds. It must know the way. In the invisible, when we get past the level of even invisible matter, we find a vast stillness that encircles the globe. And that stillness is the power. And that power is what Paul is revealing, the power of the stillness, the vast riches of his grace. We had an interesting meditation the other day going into the invisible world of atoms, the invisible level of the electrons, and resting in them, feeling that invisible activity of the material world before it becomes visible, just resting in with the atoms of the radioactive world and seeing the great sensitivity of them. And learning that as we can rest in those electrons and atoms quietly, feeling the immense activity of the invisible material world, we can also learn to walk in such a way that we can walk through the atom, as Jesus walked through a door. Walk through the invisible atom in silence. And in that silence, you will not upset the great sensitivity of the invisible atomic world. You're walking through the atom on the water of silence, right through to the other side and out into spirit. And so the invisible atom, which becomes the visible world, has no power over you in this great silence as you rest. All of the radioactive universe is powerless against the Christ, against the silence of your own mind. And this is the power that Paul is revealing. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He's revealing the nature of spiritual power, which no man on earth at his time, save John and Luke, knew. The Christians themselves were unaware of the greatness of spiritual power. They were just little beginners. They had had 2 or 3 years of the infinite way. 2 or 3 years of learning what it was to be a Christian. And they were isolated from the truth, except what they could get from their meditations. They didn't know the greatness of spiritual power, that it is the only, and there is no other power. Before we get through with this meeting, I'm going to do it now so that we don't lose it. I'd like to explore with you the meaning of the word dominion in another way. The spiritual power that Paul is revealing is the dominion that we were given in Genesis when we were created, as it were. Actually, there was no creation. You always were. You always were the Spirit of God. It was never created. Dominion is in yourself. And this dominion is dominion over all things. But it isn't a future dominion. It is the present state of your being. You now have dominion. And the fact that you do not experience dominion has nothing to do with the fact that it is there waiting for you to experience it. And although the method I'm going to suggest will escape you by tomorrow, you can do something about it for the rest of the day to hold it, and it's this. Christ is the only being on earth and until you come into the awareness of Christ as your name, you are seeing yourself as one of many. Now, if you want your dominion, try understanding first that as the Christ, you are the only being on earth, in spite of the physical appearances. And that as the only being on earth, there is no other being on earth you need ever fear. And therefore, there is a moment of rest in which you accept I, Spirit, Christ, am the only being. And I stand there in silence, accepting that there is no other being, power, substance on this earth than I. And this Christ that I am is there and there and there and there and there and everywhere. Omnipresent Christ, omnipotent, I am, period, rest. There is no other being. When you can have that rest, you will find your dominion. That's where it is. As long as there is another being on earth, you have no dominion. As long as there is one on earth, and that one is you, you have your dominion. Now, this may seem to you to be an impossible task. It isn't. It has been experienced many times by ordinary people who have worked carefully in the Spirit and have learned that because of their spiritual identity and the oneness of God, of Father and Son, that the acceptance that I am the One automatically rules out that there is another One. And then you rest in that and you find there is dominion there. There is absolute dominion there over those things that seem to be pressing, And you can't open your eyes 10 minutes later and try to find out if it worked, because then you lose your dominion. This is a permanent state of consciousness. It is something you are to work toward. First a moment of it, repeated moments of it, and finally a minute or two, until maybe for a whole 20 minutes you may even feel that I understand that I, the Christ, am the only substance on this earth. And therefore the physical forms have no power. There are no other beings than the Christ self. All physical forms are the concepts we entertain. Finally, you will come to a point where this becomes your daily habit of establishing the reality of the one being that I am, and there is no other. Now you're out of the material consciousness. You're not accepting yourself as a material being either. And so there's no material being on the earth in your Christ awareness, in your Christ acceptance. And this is how Christ consciousness comes to you, because suddenly the power of it begins to show and you see the reality of it. This is how Christ consciousness will come to this earth. Each of us working within ourselves, as Paul is revealing, we learn that I am the only being, I Christ. And there may be 300,000 saying that, but they are all I Christ. They won't be afraid of the rest of the people or the circumstances that surround them, because I Christ is accepted in consciousness. I, Christ, will externalize as the allness of God expressing. Now, when you've tried it, you'll find various reasons why you're not able to hold it. But makes no difference. Go back to it again and again and again. Someday you will come up with that understanding that I am the only being on this earth. And you'll find that that will heighten your Christ realization. It will also be your, what he later calls, the full armor of God. Because that full armor of God is spiritual consciousness, consciousness of the Spirit. And consciousness of the Spirit means consciousness of the allness of the Spirit, the oneness of the Spirit. And the I that is the Christ is including every individual on the face of the earth in that Christ. This is the most important thing for today, to try that realization that I, being the Christ, being the Spirit, I'm the only being on earth. And if there's another being or circumstance that you fear or condemn or hate or desire to hurt in any way, or even acknowledge as a separate being, you've lost it. That's how delicate this is. What he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is teaching us that only Christ is at the right hand of God. Meaning, to be one with God, you must be one with the Christ of your own being. That's the great secret. You cannot be one with God unless you're in the Christ consciousness. Because only I, Christ, and the Father are one. That's what Paul is giving us here. It took a Joel to understand it. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to be named, which is to come. In other words, Christ is omnipresent, everywhere, in all space and time. Wherever you are, Christ alone is, and that is your name. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now Christ then is revealed as that which filleth all in all. And so Christ is the church of God. The church of God is Christ, and that means the substance of your being is the church of God. Now, we have quite a lot there in that first chapter. Believe it or not, I was prepared for six. I never realized that one would take 2 hours. And I'm not promising next week to do the second because you might even be bored. But we'll see what happens next week. We won't say what's going to happen. Now, there are certain passages here that are in the other chapters that we should look at. One of them is in the third chapter, and it's the 12th to the 18th verse. And the reason we should look at it is this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You see, you can't understand Christ. You have to accept that this is the truth. And you must proceed from that acceptance rather than through your understanding of it. If you're waiting for understanding before you accept, you're going to wait a long time. You cannot understand Christ. You must accept Christ. That's a big point. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And if we've been waiting to understand and understand before we accept, there'll never come that time. It's first the acceptance, and then the understanding flows. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. He's revealing that what he is revealing is the fourth dimensional consciousness that is to come into your awareness. This is the fourth dimensional consciousness that Paul is revealing is available on earth. Now, some of the problems in this come from things like this. In chapter 4, here's the great passage. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we know now that the new man is that spiritual selfhood, the garment of immortality. And here's what the church has done with this, typified by one of these books here, which is translated, this Bible, and where it says, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. This version says, and with yourselves mentally and spiritually remade to put on the clean, fresh clothes of the new life, which was made by God's design for righteousness, the clean, fresh clothes. Some sort of a nothing about the great revelation of spiritual selfhood. And then in another place where it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, which means speak only the word of God and not the word of man. And this translator says, let there be no more foul language. And so this is a Phillips New Testament in modern English. I have read six of these, and each one has its own way of burying the Christ completely. You won't find it in these modern versions of how to read the Bible. Now, the translators have all lost the Christ also. Finally, put on the full armor of God. Now, the full armor of God is listed by Paul as these qualities: truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and spirit. But you see, the full armor of God is spiritual consciousness, which comprises truth, righteousness, faith, spirit, and so forth. Now, it should be clear from only that first chapter and the brief excerpts of others that Paul was in the Christ consciousness, had received the awareness of the presence of Christ in man, was teaching it, and because of it, you know, Paul was one of the great healers. But where you are concerned and I am concerned is not what he was, but what his being makes it possible for us to be. And because he was a great healer, we must see that there was something in him that was released called the living Christ. And it was this that we have just discussed, the acceptance that there is no other being on this earth than the Christ of God. You know, you could walk with that, and that's what would earn a master's wage everywhere. That is the I am, and there is no other. Then you'll see that when Scripture says, I am God and there is no other, you must come to the point where you can say it. You must say it. I am the Spirit and there is no other. The words must come from the eye of your own being. It's no longer God saying them and you reading them, or Jesus saying them and you learning about them. This must come to the point where I, the living Spirit of God, am the only. What shall I fear? Do you see how your acceptance of I am the only is the removal of fear, the removal of lack, the removal of limitation? I am, and I am the only. Maybe you're not ready for that place to stand on, but if you are, something in you is telling you so. And if it's telling you so, this is where you must stand. I am, and I am the only. And then we've got what Paul had to tell us. We've got all of it. Because no matter what else he's going to say, we can't come any higher than I am, and I am the only. And the only way this can be true is if you are the Spirit and not the flesh. That's what I hope you will take with you. I am the Spirit, and I am the only Spirit. And Spirit is all there is, and therefore, throughout this complete universe, I am free in Christ, now and forever. You will find that this is really the answer which holds away the problems of the world. No matter what they come to, no matter how they advance upon you, I am Spirit and I am the only is your answer. But you must be living in that consciousness in order to be able to quickly be there that way at the right time. You can't be too far away from that level. I am Spirit and I am the only. And that is the final leading to a consciousness called Christ consciousness, which is really the beginning of life. Now, when you're at that point, then you will walk out of this experience in life, not in death. because that is where the rebirth takes place. I am spirit and I am the only. It solidifies into the full conscious acceptance of Christ as your substance. All of the signs pour out. You don't lift your hand to defend against anything. You don't let your mind fret about any circumstance. I am spirit and I am the only is your only answer to every circumstance that seems to be discordant. This is the practicing of the presence of the Christ where you stand. And it is freedom. This is how the flow of revelation then begins that Paul was revealing to his early Christian friends. The flow of revelation begins when you have accepted that I am spirit and I am the only. Then light flows. Harmony flows. Peace flows. Truth flows. The truth of God, which is the only truth, begins to pour through you. Now, this is the plateau we had to come to today. I am spirit, and I am the only presence on this earth. For there is no other than the spirit that I am. Please practice it, and you will see the great power of it. I expect many of you to say, I feel the power of it in myself. I feel the peace. I feel the absence of worldly pressure. This is the garment of truth that I can stand in. This is oneness realized. And that is where the spiritual power, the dominion of Genesis is. We should all be walking in this, each in his own measure, according to his capacity to receive. And from this, grace makes itself manifest in the flesh. You can walk in it. Joel says a child can walk in it. And so this is where we will be walking. This is where we are walking now. Tomorrow it will be gone. If between now and tomorrow you work with it, you'll find when it's gone tomorrow, it won't take you very long to bring it back. And then it will be a permanent dispensation. The more frequently practiced, the more you will find it becomes automatic. We're ready for what the world has to throw at us when we are living in the full armor of God. I am, and beside me there is no other, for spirit is my name, and that is the substance of the universe. Accept it at this moment, forgetting all problems, and you will find that the Christ within will help show that the problem was not real. There is no problem in spirit. Well, thanks to you, Paul, Joel, whoever else was with us invisibly, I think we've had a feeling of the presence. And so thanks very much.
Thank you.